the 8:30, but all just hit me.
Hitting me in waves.
I'm having a very cursed nighttime iced coffee.
No!
But it's like, that's the problem with having ADHD, is that even though the caffeine doesn't get to me, it still feels like I'm doing something kind of naughty.
You know, the caffeine never feels like it's getting to me until I can't sleep for 4 hours at night because I stop drinking it at 7 p.m. Every time it gets me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I just, like, I literally can have coffee and go right to bed.
That's amazing. That's I'm genuinely crazy. Happy. You have a gift.
Thank you.
It's a superpower.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, hi. Welcome back to the Super Sapphic Film Club. I'm Haley.
Hello. I'm Claire.
And this is a podcast where we listen, where we listen and learn.
Where we watch and then you listen. We're listening and learning.
And fucking hell. Where every other week we watch a different sapphic film in the woman love woman / non-binary love woman canon that we made up and is publicly available in our hot sexy air table.
Which is
on our ssfc.card.co, which I'm realizing I should put in the freaking show notes. No, I linked the, oh, our movie list is in the show notes.
Yeah. God. It's in the show notes. There you go. God.
Anyway, we watched Love Song.
We did.
A 2016 film by So-young Kim, who directed it as well as wrote it with her husband, Bradley Rust Gray.
Oh, I didn't know they were married. There you go. Interesting.
Claire picked this out, and I think she regrets it.
I picked it out from a pre-approved list, I will say. I will put the asterisk. If I had been given every movie, it probably wouldn't have been this movie, but I saw that Jenna Malone was in Love Song. Oh, why not?
No, you should have told me. I was like, here are some I was thinking of. I was sorry.
Oh, okay, sorry. No, I just misunderstood. I'm sure I just didn't read your text fully.
That's okay.
Like, I was like, list! I will pick from list. I can do that. No, it was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's another quiet indie people. Ooh, you know how I love those.
What is it about lesbianism and queer women that, like, so often is about contemplativeness and emotion?
That is so true. I just got tired after you said that. I'm so tired of contemplating. All I do is contemplate. Please.
Like, I literally just watched, it wasn't a video essay, it was just like a YouTuber who I hadn't seen before. I'll put it in the show notes in case people are curious. I don't even remember her name. I feel bad. But she was like, it seemed to be a like a book YouTuber. And she was like, why are lesbian romance books so bad?
Thank you. I feel like a bad gay all the time because I just can't read almost probably 95% of them.
Yeah.
Like, but I also, they're bad or they're okay, and I just get mad about their other shit or their gay shit is bad in particular.
Yeah. No, and, like, it was really insightful to hear from, like, I know this sounds, like, weird to say, but I just mean, like, it was interesting to hear from a lesbian's perspective about, like, her frustrations. Because, like, as a bisexual woman, like, I just don't have the same experience as her, even though we both like women. But, like, she was talking about how, like, so many of, like, and she's just talking about, like, romance genre, which, like, I think neither of us really read, and we don't really try to read the, like, rom-com.
Gay romance?
But a book, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think when we,
is this,
like,
a joke? All I do is read romance. But the gay shit in particular, you're right. I appreciate you not outing me until I did it myself, though.
No, but I mean, like, you don't read the kind of romance where it's, like, and we're going to, and I'm fixing up a house and the carpenter is kind of sexy. Oh, yeah, very
true. No, I can't stand those.
Yeah, no, like, you don't read, like, the fluffy Hallmark kind. And, like, that's what she was kind of largely talking about.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because she talked about how she did like historical romances because there were, like, parts of it where they had to be more realistic. And she also liked, like, just more kind of straight literature, like, and I thought that was a really good point. Because, again, like, most of the queer stories, we did a whole episode about our top five gay people in media.
Yeah.
And we ended up talking a lot about books. And I can't believe I forgot to mention This Is How You Lose the Time War.
Oh, it's on our Patreon, by the way, that episode.
But This Is How You Lose the Time War by Amal El-Motar and Max Gladstone is a fantastic book. Claire, you would love it.
Okay.
It's a book told in letters. It's a sci-fi futuristic thing, and it's like two people on opposing sides write letters to each other, and they, like, slowly, spoilers, fall in love. And
ooh, Ooh, I love that.
If I'm remembering correctly, it was like vaguely inspired by Steven Universe.
This is turning me off of it. I'm not going to lie to you.
Damn it. Because one of the characters, Garnet, is actually like the combination of two characters. So it's like Ruby and Sapphire and like it's... Anyway. Forget I said that. Just read this book. It has literally nothing to do with it.
Okay, great.
It would be like that like Magic Mike is loosely inspired by Lord of the Rings.
What? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. Like, it's like, Magic Mike 2. I meant like the one where they like all go on a road trip. Like, it's just guys traveling.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, there you go.
We're so off topic. I'm sorry.
No, I love it.
But hey, quick synopsis. This is really funny because we're watching a second movie from 2016 in a row.
Oh, that is funny. It was an important year, you know, not in general, maybe a little bit in general, but mostly for the gay movies.
It was like kind of an election year.
The election year.
Oh my gosh. So Love Song is a 2016 film, as I mentioned, written and directed by So-young Kim. And it's also interesting because along with writing it with her husband, they also both edited it together.
Oh, that's cute. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It follows Sarah, played by Riley Keough, a young mom with, I think, like a 3-year-old kid who is pretty isolated, stuck at home with her child as her husband is off traveling and being a crap dad.
Mm-hmm.
And to come and give her some relief, her old friend Mindy, played by Jenna Malone, comes and they go on a road trip together. They end up sleeping together and then vibes are kind of weird. They're good and then they're weird. Mindy kind of leaves last minute or like impulsively. Sarah returns home alone, is very upset. And there is a 3-year time jump where Mindy is getting married.
To a guy named Leaf.
Leaf. He's not even a like non-binary 20-year-old person. He's like,
I know. I was like, you can be like a genderqueer person.
Yeah.
You know, but no, it's just some random dude.
Just some millennial.
Yeah.
From Nashville. Like, make it make sense.
God, from Nashville.
Nashville's fine.
I know. What Nashville mom names her boy Leaf?
I don't.
That's my question. He's got to be Jacob. He's got to be Mark.
Right.
He's
got to
be a name from the Bible,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Hezekiah.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're all there.
Joseph, Paul. I could keep going.
Yeah.
Sorry to Bible flex anyway.
Yeah. I'll have you know I was Protestant till I was 11.
Oh my God, Claire. You're like Romeo and Juliet. You're a Protestant,
I was
Catholic.
Just like it. I always forget you're Catholic, and I always forget that it's because Catholics don't like to flex about being Catholics. Because
we're all busy trying to forget that we're Catholic.
Whereas Protestants are like, I am Protestant. If anyone would like to hear about it, my church is so ugly, you wouldn't believe it.
Oh my God. So Mindy's getting married to Leaf. And Sarah's daughter is the flower girl. And things are weird. It's like very clear that the two haven't really had much contact since the road trip. And Sarah's helping out. Mindy's, it seems like she's getting married last minute for like no reason.
Which is strange. That was confusing to me too. We'll get into it.
Yeah. Anyway, at the bachelor party, the two kind of have a moment of reconnection. And then on the wedding day, Mindy's kind of going through it. She's freaking out. And Sarah, the two go for a walk and kind of disappear. And they have a little bit of a reconciliation. And Mindy goes off and marries Leaf. End of movie. Barest of bones. We shall get into it.
Yes.
So I actually watched this movie when it came out.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I was 19. Was I 19 when I watched this? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it really stuck with me. I don't know. It's just like it's a movie I've never forgotten about. But there was like a lot of it that I didn't understand. So it was really interesting watching this again. But anyway, I'm curious to hear what you think.
I have like many conflicting thoughts about this movie. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't decide what the predominant ones were.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like annoyed that they don't end up together.
I know.
But also like I understand movies don't always have to have, like, happy endings. This doesn't have to be, like not all romances have to be, like, you know, happy, I guess, at the end. It can just be a movie about, like, the exploration of these women's lives and their complicated feelings for each other, but ultimately their undying love. But also, I'm still mad it's not a happy ending. And I'm pissed about it.
I don't know. I'm, like, really undecided about this film. Like, I think how personal to get. Okay.
Here we go. Let's get into it.
When I first finished this movie, I think I'm just naturally contrarian. So, like, thank you for bearing with me. Like,
hell yeah, go for it.
When I finished this film, I was like, why don't they just get together? Like, there's not, like, some insurmountable obstacle. Like, I've been obsessing over Past Lives. I've watched it, like, 4 times in the past week. I am not doing okay. And in that film, there's a lot of tension and, like, understanding about, like, you know, the actual realities of, like, entering a relationship that is not just with someone who lives in your city and is, like, you know, here with you at a certain, like, at a similar station in life. And in this film, it's like, why the fuck does she not just, like, the worst part about them not being together is how awkward it would be to cancel a wedding.
Yes.
But, like,
not a good enough reason.
Not a good enough reason. That's where I'm like, life is so short. Blow it up.
Yes.
It'll be fine. Yeah. Send everyone flowers.
Like, yeah, honestly.
But also, like, I think it makes sense just for, like, who these characters are. Okay, so here's something interesting. This movie was shot in 2 separate, like, goes. Like, they literally shot the first section of them on the road trip and were like, is this anything? And then in the edit, they're like, oh, it is. And then they went and they finished the film.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was a really cool, like, way that this all kind of, like, fell together. Like, So Young Kim was, like, working on something else, and she went to see Jenna Malone's band play a show.
She had a band?
Yeah, and the
song... No, and that was her singing at the end.
Yes,
right?
Damn. Right.
Love her.
Love Jenna Malone. She's like, would you be in something that I made? And Jenna Malone's like, hell yeah, let's go for it.
Why not?
Why not? So it's like, they literally just shot it, like, at their home, like, guerrilla style, like, the rodeo. They had signs for, like, shooting a documentary, be out of frame if you don't want to be in the film.
Love that. That's so cool.
So it's like, it's super scrappy. It's super, like, super independent. Really, really cool. I lost my train of thought. Oh, okay. But in the first section, I wanted them to get together. Like, I could see it. Like, they were just emotionally immature. They were, like, scared of actually doing it. And I also really want to talk to you about the conversation about how, after they slept together, how that went. Because I thought that was
like, fascinating.
But in the second part, like, I don't know. I think you see more of what Mindy is like and how different they are. Like, just the way that Mindy's friends act. Her bachelorette party is, like, my waking nightmare.
Oh my God, it was horrible.
It was so bad. But it's, like, one of those things where it's, like, I can see how they are compatible as friends, but would be incompatible dating.
Yeah. Yeah. That is true. I, like, don't agree still with them in particular being that.
Yeah.
I think partly, I read the, her friends sucking so bad thing as, like, almost, like, proof that this whole relationship with Leaf wasn't, like, for the best or whatever. Because, like, it seemed like her relationships with all these people, Mindy's relationships with these people, were, like, strange and tenuous. Like, her best friend in Nashville is from her work. Yeah. Like, famously, like, the place you meet okay people who are not your best friend.
And it's, like, clearly struggling with
coke,
alcohol.
Like, and, like, yeah exactly. Like, when Sarah meets Mindy's apparent new best friend from work, she's, like, doing a bump, like, that second of coke, I'm pretty sure. It's, like, crazy. Like, you know, in broad daylight, it's basically, like, a family reunion type thing.
Yeah.
And then the other girl who comes over is, like, Leaf's sister. Mm. And it's that horrible thing where your friend leaves you alone with, like, these two complete randos who, like, are best friends. And so they just start taking, like, time with these, like, horrible, dumb jokes. And Sarah's just standing there awkwardly a little bit. And so I took that to be, like, this is her, this is, like, Mindy trying to build a life with this random asshole Leaf, and it's like not working that well.
I totally see that, but I think it's also like, not to be a Mindy anti, but I think that it's like, I don't know, I don't know how to say this without sounding judgmental. Like,
hit me.
And I'm gonna say this that I genuinely don't mean it judgmentally, but it's like, Mindy seems like a very like surface person. Like, she is like, she wants to party, she's like okay with just being around whoever as long as like we're all here to have a good time. Like, you know, it's just like she kind of lives a little faster and looser than Sarah. And yeah, like, you know,
I do think that's true.
It's like, my friend does coke, but like, it's fine. She's like, you know, she tells horribly inappropriate jokes at a dinner table.
In front
table.
Of your 6-year-old.
Yeah.
At the dinner table. Okay. Like, swearing.
That she's like, my best friend. Yeah. She's crazy. Oh, I hate her guts. But like, she, exactly. I love her to death.
Yeah. I did get that vibe too. I did think that was like sort of rude of Mindy, even back in the first part of the movie, when she's like about to fuck this random cowboy at the fucking carnival. Like, Mindy and Sarah and Sarah's 3-year-old are all there hanging out having a great time.
Yeah.
And Mindy's just eye fucking this random cowboy that she met in the line for burgers. And then Sarah like finds them, it's like getting dark, and she's like, okay, well, I think we gotta go back to the hotel. Like, they're driving, it's not like they're walking back to the hotel.
Right.
And Mindy's like, oh, I guess it's my bedtime. Bitch, it is if you don't want to find your own way here back to the hotel tomorrow morning. Like, hello, I have a child, we're going to the hotel.
Right. Also, we're on this trip together to see each other.
I know, exactly. Like, seems rude.
Yeah. Like, no, and that's what I mean, rando. It's like, I feel like Mindy is just like a kind of person who's like, you know, what's the next thing? Like, what are we doing? What's the next bar we're going to? Like, who's this person? You should come with us. Like, it's not. And I know this is like a weird thing to latch onto, because like, Mindy's mom is in this and she sucks. Like,
so bad. Yeah.
But like, she sucks in that mom way where she kind of has a point.
Does she really?
Well, one of her lines is like, Mindy's always kind of been selfish.
I don't know. Yeah.
I
hated the mom so bad. I just disagreed with her reflexively.
Like, fair. I don't think it's as dire as the mom made it out to be, but it's like, Mindy, and it can be a strength too. It's just like, you know, she puts herself first, you know, it's like, this is crazy. So like, yeah, I want my friend who I haven't seen in 3 years to go to the florist and run these errands for me while I get a massage. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, that could be very uncharitably seen as selfish, but it's like, she's just good at putting herself first, and sometimes that makes people uncomfortable, because a lot of us, or not a lot of us, but, you know, other people are like, well, I could never do that. Like, yeah, I would rather suffer in silence and, you know,
yeah,
take on as much responsibility as I can than say something. Or
that is true. And like, now that you mention it, I don't think that, like, I thought, I was sort of impressed by how good Mindy was with Jesse, who's Sarah's 3-year-old in the first part of the movie. Like, she was, like, just really sweet with her, like, loved her, like, seemed like, you know, I hardly know anything about kids, but seemed, like, good with her.
Yeah.
But also, like, you don't want your partner to just be, like, going off and, like, doing what the fuck ever when you're there with them and your kids. So, like, that's not an amazing sign.
Right.
What kind of, like, parent figure they would be if you got married, you know?
Exactly. Like,
yeah,
that's, yeah, but no, it is still kind of like an odd ending, because you do kind of walk away of like, does Mindy want to marry Leaf? Doesn't
Seems
super
like no.
feel like it.
Yeah, like, call me crazy, I know that it would be a bomb to her entire life to like leave him at the altar, but also, if I were gonna marry someone and they were having such terrible cold feet that they ran off into the woods with their best friend and also fling, like, of years ago, I would want them to call off the wedding, because that just does not seem all that promising.
Right?
Like, that's bad still.
You know?
Yeah.
I know. I think it's also, like, I want to love this movie, but I just don't. Because I feel like it's presenting me with a lot of stuff that I could read into it, but I don't know if that's actually in the film.
What do you mean?
I am being colored by my past lives obsession. Hi, I'm Haley. Thanks for joining.
I don't know fucking anything about past lives.
It's like my new favorite film ever, maybe.
Oh, awesome.
It's really good.
Wait, is that the Andrew Scott? Is that his name? The Hot Priest one?
No, that's Strangers.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah, which I did see and was okay.
Okay, there you go. Thank
really
God.
Well acted.
I really didn't want to watch it. It looked like it would make me sob.
You know, it was a really interesting movie about grief, but it wasn't for me. Like,
yeah, there you go. Any movie described as an interesting movie about grief will never be for me. I don't know this.
I'm obsessed with grief. I think there's something clinically wrong with me, like new that I don't know about.
Yeah. Like previously undetermined. Yeah. Brand new.
Right. But I think I'm being colored by past lives, and it's like I could see how this could be like a movie about people who are like finding out that they've outgrown each other, or it's like they're really close in college and then like they had this like weekend where they like saw the potential of like what they could be to each other, but that just like ultimately they are too different, or like they have two different of priorities when it comes to like life. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how much that's really in there. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't either. Really beautifully shot, really beautifully acted. Like,
yeah, really good.
And like really strong writing. Like I
was impressed.
I was like, I'm not usually someone who like loves naturalistic dialogue, mm-hmm. or like overly naturalistic, but I thought this did a really good job of like, it was there to show us how emotionally immature these two are.
Yeah, yeah. I was so impressed with the kids, too. Like, did you know that they're sisters?
And they're the director's daughters.
They are!
Yeah!
That's so sweet!
Like, why they did it was so interesting. Like, they're talking about why they did 3 years for the time jump. And they were like, partly it was because, like, we could use our younger daughter for the first one and our older daughter for the next one. Also talking about how, like, 3 years is, like, just the right amount of time where it's, like, it's not, like, it hasn't been too long that chapter is, like, fully ended. But it's also, like, not short enough that, like, the wound is fully healed. Like, it's still a little fresh.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. That is true, honestly.
Yeah. But, yeah, the kids are great. And, like...
So good.
I really loved the Ferris wheel scene where like the daughter was just like yelling the entire time. She was like screaming. And they're just kind of like looking at each other. And I don't know. It's one of those movies where it's like I feel like there's a lot happening, but I'm not super clear on what is happening.
Oh my God. I'm so glad you said that. I felt like normally I feel like I'm okay at picking up in movies, like, the undertone of what someone's saying versus what they really mean or what would be picked up by the other person.
Right.
But in this movie, I was, like, never sure of what I was supposed to be getting from what they were saying. And this leads me to the rant, if I want to go down it.
Yeah.
But, like, I fucking cannot stand when people in movies and also in general just do not fucking say something direct and outright. I'm begging you. Like, I know people do this all the time in real life. I'm sure I have done it lots of times.
Yeah.
But also, like, I feel like if you're on a road trip with your best friend of, like, a decade, and she's like, well, I'm going to go home now. I'd be like, what? Why? Like, what happened? Like, what are you upset about? Like, what did I do? Like, she probably knew because of that conversation they had. But I also still feel like I just wouldn't let it go with, like, oh, okay, well... Bye, I guess. Let's not talk for 3 years.
Yeah.
It just, like, pisses me off a little bit.
I know. I totally relate. It's, like, it is one of those moments, like, I understand that as a character and they're doing the best that they can, but goddamn, is it annoying.
But holy shit, man. I mean, also, especially, like, there's so many times, especially after the 3-year time jump, when Mindy is like dancing so aggressively around asking Sarah what she thinks of Mindy and also the wedding and also how much time has passed and like how close she interprets them still being.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's like, you know, I'm sorry you weren't in the wedding party. And Sarah's like, oh, you know, it's fine. No, it's fine. She's like, I just didn't know, you know, if you would even want to be in it. And then Sarah's like, oh, you know, whatever. But doesn't say like, oh, I'd love to be in it, which is like clearly what Mindy's like hoping for.
Right.
And then she's like, yeah, and I didn't even know like if you'd even come to the wedding. It's like, oh my God, just fucking say something. I can't stand it. I'm begging you. Oh my God. Like, hey, you know, it's been a long time, but I really, really missed you. And honestly, you know, I still just like love you so much. And I think we should hang out more. Like, if that is what you want,
right?
Then just say it.
Just say it. I know. And I think that's the other thing is it's like, I think there's a little bit of like emotional chicken in the running into the woods scene. Cause I really do. I think the argument could be made that like Mindy would leave Leaf at the altar if Sarah was like, let's do
this. Please leave him at the altar. Like, let's go right now. Yeah. I think you're totally right. She would have done it.
But I think like Sarah maybe having spent time with Mindy's friends is like, we're not in the same like wavelength in life right now, or maybe even just like Mindy not being willing to say that without Sarah being the one is like, you should go marry him. Like,
yeah. And also maybe even just like not being ready. Like, we hear that after the 3-year time jump, she and what's his face, her husband, Sarah and her husband are separated, but you know, not like divorced. Like, separated is still meaningful as a state to be in, but it's also not, like, over and done with and goodbye to him.
The marriage is not dissolved fully.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, you know, I think you're totally right. And I also think Sarah is just too wishy-washy, too, to ever be the one who's like, please leave your fiancé for me. Like, she's just not going to do that ever.
You know, and I think that's, like, honestly, like, a really interesting and, like, you know, it's a less dramatic choice, but I think it is more realistic in that it's like, are you really going to blow up both of your lives for like...
maybe not that promising of a relationship.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Like, you can love someone so much and just be like, I just don't think it's our time still.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, painful. And they have that moment in the woods where I think they're like getting that closure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. You know what's so funny is whenever I do research on films, it's like I copy and paste like quotes into a document, and then I always think of stuff that I didn't include.
Oh no! Right? That always happens. You're like, oh, that's interesting, but I'm not going to talk about it. And then you're talking, you're like, God, I should have fucking brought that.
So Young Kim in an interview was talking about how like she likes to capture in her films the important things that happen in life between the big days, like how big things can happen in your life that isn't like your graduation or getting married. Like there's stuff in between that is just as impactful, but like less clearly demarcated as like important. So I feel like that film was doing that. But I also feel like going back to the acting that like we don't know enough about these characters for these like long cuts to have a like a clear meaning.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
Like, I think if we just knew more about, like, what was their friendship like in college? Like, we get one anecdote about how they almost had a threesome together, which I thought was, like, you know, a good, you know, bit of information. But it's like, did they grow up together? Did they meet in college? Like, you know, what was their dynamic like before Jenna Malone was this, like, you know, wild child, like, getting her out of her, like, crazy Pennsylvanian home?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I agree too. I felt like there was a lot that was like meant to be meaningful, but didn't feel like that much information was being like given to me, especially in the beginning. Yeah. Like, honestly, even with the like Mindy going off with the cowboy thing was like really confusing to me when it was happening. And only with like the rest of the context of the movie did I feel like I understood it more, which like is fine. But like at first I couldn't tell if like, you know, my instinct was that Mindy was being a bitch for being like, I guess it's my bedtime. Like when her friend is like, let's fucking go back to the hotel with my child.
Right.
But I also just couldn't tell if like Sarah was like being overly involved in like what Mindy's doing because she like secretly loves her or something. I don't know. But
yeah,
there was a lot like that where I was like, what was I meant to gather from that scene? I don't know.
Yeah. And like that's, I also feel that with the Ferris wheel scene, because it's like you have these like long moments where the daughter Jessie is like screaming and Sarah and
so
Mindy.
So much screaming. So much kid screaming.
Are just like looking at each other. And it's like, I feel like you could have that same sequence. And this isn't a bad thing, but like you could have that same sequence and then have it be like, oh, that's when they decided to be together.
Yeah.
And maybe I guess it could still be that, because then it's like Mindy got kind of weird after Sarah like talked to Dean on the phone, and then they like kind of had the debrief about like, haha, we had sex.
Yeah. No, I thought that was a really interesting conversation.
It was such a good scene. It was
really good. Yeah. Mindy asks, you know, was that Dean on the phone? She's like, yeah. She's like, do you still love him, do you think? And Sarah's like, I don't know. I'm just so confused. You know, I'm glad you're here. And I don't regret that we slept together, even though, you know, I know it wasn't a big deal. And Mindy is like, you think I do that all the time? Like, she takes that as like a commentary on her like being a slut, I guess, or of like not taking her relationship with Sarah that seriously.
Yeah.
Or like both at once, all of them. And like gets mad, and the Sarah's like, are you okay? And Mindy's like, what do you think? Oof. And then like leaves like hours later, like buys a bus ticket, and then is like, well, I think I'll go back. You guys seem like you're good to go, so goodbye.
Right, we had such a beautiful time together.
Exactly.
The bus was like, in like 10 minutes.
What? She's like, you're joking. What? So like, I can sympathize with Mindy in that, oh, that would have hurt a lot if you were like in love with this person and they're like, and then we slept together, but like, not that that meant anything.
Yeah.
And like, also they're married still. So you're like the other woman.
Yeah.
Like, that's not good at all. No. So I can see how like just leaving to like protect your heart or whatever would be like the thing to do, but also just say something to each other. I'm begging you. Please.
Use your words. I know. And it's like, I think it's also so cool to see in a film how hard it is to talk about sex when one of you has a lot of experience and one of you doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, I do. I think she fumbled the bag. I'm not saying it's like, it's understandable, but it's like, I think there is like, can be an assumption between people who don't have as much sex that like, it becomes less meaningful. Like, if you do it with more people, have more partners, or if like, you know, do it more casually, but it's like, that doesn't negate it being meaningful when it is meaningful. Yeah. Like, it's.
And yeah. And like, I interpreted Sarah saying that as her almost like testing the waters, like her being like, you know, I don't regret that we had sex, but, you know, not that it meant anything, as almost like waiting for her to contradict her or not, like not wanting to be like uncool and be like, and it meant everything because I've only had sex with 2.5 other people.
Right.
And instead of being like, it meant something to me, like, which is what I wanted.
Right.
Mindy to say, like, if that is how she, like, I'm sorry, if you were an emotionally healthy person, you would have said, oh, it actually meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I know it's easier said than done to like be that emotionally vulnerable or whatever, but like, instead, she's like, so you're calling me a whore. And it's like, call me crazy. That does not sound like what she said to me.
I mean, but it's so, I totally agree. Like, you know, if these are, you know, if that was an interaction that my friends had, I'd be like, you're being crazy. Like, she was clearly like setting you up to be like, no, I'm into this. Like,
yeah.
But it's like, it's just so, so much of this film is like them waiting for the other person to say go. Like,
yes, and it makes me want to shoot myself.
It's so frustrating, especially because, like, I don't know about you, but, like, I see my younger self in this a lot, where it's, like, you take things in the worst possible way. You're, like, waiting for someone else to, like, finally let you like them when it's, like, just use your fucking words.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly.
I don't know.
It's maybe
still
just
a beautiful film, though. Like, yeah. I don't know.
It is really beautiful. I just felt sort of like, what was that all about when it ended? But I do still think it was like an interesting experience, like an interesting to think about and talk about. But I still was like, okay, well, that's that, I guess. Like, they didn't even end up together. It's about the journey, but still.
Right. And like, who knows? I mean, like, I think it can be frustrating. I think also just like the way that we both are, just like, I want to know everything right now. Like, it's hard to accept, it's hard for me to accept sometimes stories that are so like ambiguous or not just like complete, you know, because it's like, maybe after this Sarah divorces her husband and starts dating women, like, maybe, like, who fucking knows?
Yeah,
you know, maybe Mindy and Leaf divorce after 2 years, maybe they have a kid, like, you know, it's like,
yeah,
it's hard for me to watch films where it's just clearly about like a chapter in someone's life sometimes.
Yeah.
When there's no, like, obvious resolution of them.
I completely agree. Oh, my God. It's, like, unbearable to me when you feel like, even when you feel like you don't get 100% of the answers. I'm like, but I fucking want 100% of the answers,
right?
You bitch.
Come on.
Did you watch Anatomy of a Fall?
I have to. I haven't yet.
somehow I watched it, like, with my parents, and it was, like, so good. Oh, my God, it was amazing to watch. Never mind that, I won't tell you, but it was really good.
Well, I can guess from Michelle Yeoh's presentation of Best Actress.
Oh, right, I forgot. Yes. That, like, what was it again?
It's like, I still don't know if she did it, so I'm guessing that we don't actually get a resolution on how
Okay, thank God. You're right, yeah. They don't fucking tell you if she killed him or not, and it, like, pisses me off.
Isn't that, like,
I want to fucking know.
I want to know. Isn't that, like, the one thing about mysteries is that you always have to tell them how it happened?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, that's why I love partially, you know, reason 109 of why everyone and also me love Knives Out. Yeah. Like, they tell you everything at the end. It's the best. Everything is just wrapped up with a little pretty bow, and then you leave the theater with, like, a skip in your step.
You're like, solved that one.
I'd love it.
No, I really have to watch that. I just...
It was really good.
You can only rent it places still, so I just haven't seen it.
Oh, I have two random thoughts. Mm-hmm. One is something I didn't understand about this movie. Is, when Mindy's mom and Mindy are, like, getting breakfast or something, and Mindy's mom says, I just don't understand why you're doing this. And Mindy goes, what? Say it. And Mindy's mom goes, getting married. What? Is it because it's so fast? Like, they can only have met in the last 3 years and now they're getting married?
Yeah.
Is it because it's, like, this guy? Is it because of his family? Is it... I don't understand why she said that and we never learned.
I know. I don't know. I think it's, like...
Yeah.
I think it's, like, just giving us that information, you know? Like, I think it's... Mindy's mom sucks.
So bad.
She sucks so hard. But I think we're also, like... through that scene that it's like her mom has regrets about how she brought up Mindy. Is like, do you think I did a good job? And Mindy's like, you know, I think you did fine. But just as a viewer, it's like, if my mom asked me that, I'd be like, what the fuck do you think is wrong with me?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, like, clearly what she meant too. Like, she was literally just, not even the breath had left her mouth of her being like, you look like shit today, daughter of mine.
Oh my God.
And then she's like, do you think I fucked up when I raised you? I was like, bitch, say it to my face. Right. What do you think you did wrong, clearly?
Hello?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I think it's like, for me, it, like, stacks up as more, like, information about the character, like, being a little impulsive and, like,
yeah,
just, like, you know, I guess I'll get married. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll buy my wedding dress 3 days before the wedding.
That one was weird to me. I was like, well, you can't even get it tailored, bitch. Oh, my God.
I know. Stress.
Also, when they kiss in the bar at the bachelorette party after the 3-year time jump, it's to the worst song of all time.
I forgot the lyrics, but I remember listening to the lyrics and be like, what the fuck?
It's all about you lost the game.
Yeah.
What? Like, I didn't hear whatever the intro part to You Lost the Game was, but it just reminded me of the fucking You Lost the Game thing from, like, 2012.
Middle school.
Unbearable.
Is the game wanting to fuck your old-time friend? Like,
because you did lose, I guess. And also, just, like, the singing was, like, not great. I'm sorry to whoever sung that, but they'll never hear this. But it was like, you lost the game. And they're, like, kissing. I was like, this is horrible.
Stop.
So bad.
No. Why is it so hard to do, like, upbeat music in a film?
I don't know, but this one sucked at it more than almost anyone I can remember.
And it was interesting because I was in another interview. I did a lot of research for this because I'd already seen it. So I was like, wanted to go in. Mm-hmm. I knew I couldn't just watch this again. And like, she was talking about how, So Young Kim was talking about how, like, she really struggles with music in films. And like, she feels really self-conscious placing, like, songs with words in them because she doesn't want it to be, like, too on the nose. And I was like, oh no. Oh, no.
Oh, girl.
Keep trying. Like, the score.
Keep working at it.
The score was really good. I really enjoyed the moments where it was just instrumental. But, like, every time there was a song, I was like, oh, no. It's not.
This one? Uh-oh.
The vibes were a little off.
They were. So, they were off.
And also the song that the strippers... stripped to.
That was such a bizarre scene. What was the song? I forgot.
It was like, it was not a take off your clothes song, you know? It was like really kind of like downbeat, like,
oh no,
late night synth beat. I don't know. It didn't seem right.
Also, was that guy just like the director's friend's brother or something? He was like, had a mullet that was also a mohawk.
Yeah.
And just was a completely normal dude who was like this male stripper they hired. And they were like, he was all they had at the male stripper store or something. And I was like, what are you talking about?
He had a clearly like press on temporary tramp stamp that just said America.
Yeah.
Like,
bizarre. Gold, you know, booty shorts. That's standard. What is going on?
Can we talk about how, like, but when women interact with sexuality at their bachelorette party, it always has to be, like, in a weird, like, humorous way.
Yes.
When it's like,
no, you're right.
A guy at a bachelorette party would just get a hot stripper, but, like, we somehow need to, like, make a mockery of masculinity. Yeah. I don't know.
No, it's true. It's like,
there's the penis water guns, like.
Exactly what I was thinking. It's like, there's always, like, penis-shaped straws. There's no equivalent for that with, like, men's bachelor parties. I don't know. It's bizarre to me.
It's really weird.
Like, it's funny, but it's also, like, why does it always have to be funny?
Right?
Yeah.
Or, like, those signs that are, like, one penis for the rest of your life.
Oh, my God. If I ever get married and I go to my bachelorette party and, like, that is something someone puts there, I'm just going to leave.
I have great news. I'll be the one planning it, so you'll be safe.
There you go. I thought you were going to be like, I have great news. I'm planning it, so it will be there. But I'll have locked the doors, so you can't leave.
No, we're playing pin the junk on the hunk.
How was that exactly what I was going to say? It was like, pin the dick on the something or other.
They had that at the...
There's only so many games. Oh my God, you're right. I totally forgot about that.
Oh my God, I hate it. Sorry, guys, I hate it. Why? Yeah, what a movie.
What a movie it was.
What a movie it was. Yeah, I don't know. I wish I liked it more. It just didn't resonate with me super strongly.
Yeah, me either. Yeah.
Glad I saw it. Really well acted. Like, Riley Keough is so good. I need to watch more films with both of them in it. Because, like, holy right? shit.
In case people don't know, I did write down some things they were both in. Riley Keough was one of the wives from Mad Max Fury Road. She was the one with the bright red curly hair. She was also, for my other people who watch horror movies, the main girl Grace in the movie The Lodge. The main girl Kim from It Comes at Night.
Oh, wow.
Oh, she was Lori Lake in Riverdale? I don't know who the fuck that is, but for anyone who knows.
Why are you there?
Exactly. And then, of course, Jenna Malone is Johanna Mason from The Hunger Games.
Yes.
And Lydia Bennett from the 2005 Pride and Prejudice movie. And also a ton of other stuff. She's been acting since, like, 1995.
Yeah. She has the best voice. Her voice is
she does it so good.
She plays Sophie's sister at the bakery in Howl's Moving Castle.
Which, like, never noticed for the longest time because her voice is so perfectly, like, girly and adorable. And then I had only ever seen her also in, like, Donnie Darko and The Hunger Games. Right. Did not recognize her at all.
For real. Also, funny little thing. The guy who plays Dean, who's on screen for, like, maybe... you know, 45 seconds, is actually a director, Kari Joji Fukunaga. And he's the director of, he did the latest Bond movie, but he also did that TV show Maniac. Did you ever watch that with Emma Stone and what's his face?
Emma Stone?
From Superbad.
Was in a show? I didn't even know.
Yeah, she was, it was like a really trendy little miniseries that like I've never seen anyone talk about ever since.
Oh, yeah, actually.
Emma Stone, Jonah
Hill.
No,
I never watched it.
I don't know if I finished it. Anyway.
Huh.
But he's also directing the upcoming Napoleon film that historians hate.
Oh, God. Historians hate them.
Historians?
Hate him?
Oh, no, him. Sorry, I was...
Him. Oh, okay. Historians hate him. Oh, this doesn't look like my kind of thing, Maniac.
I can't recommend it. I barely remember it.
Yeah.
It was one of those, like, speculative future sci-fi things where I'm like, what are you trying to say exactly?
Yes. Yeah, I'm judging this completely based on Wikipedia and nothing else. Mm. So take this with a huge grain of salt. But like, it says the plot follows two strangers who connect during a mind-bending pharmaceutical trial set in a retro-future New York City. So it's like they take different pills and go into different worlds. Mm-hmm. And that just sounds like dumb inherently.
I still couldn't tell you what they were trying to say. It was like, it's... I do remember, like, one of my favorite scenes was in the pilot, and it was, like, Emma Stone is super broke, and to pay for her meal, she can elect to have someone, like, spend 45 minutes reading ads to her.
Oh, God.
I thought that was pretty funny. Like,
that is funny. I'm also temporarily rendered speechless. Like, honestly, that is a pretty good commentary, because we are not that far away from that being the case.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. We just do that for free when I'm, like, scrolling on Instagram eating my food.
Yeah, yeah.
Be nice to be paid for that.
Honestly, be nice to get a service out of it.
Right. But oh anyway, there's, like, a shot of her just, like, pissed off staring at the window, like, shoveling her food in, and this woman's just like... $4.99 will buy you 3 months of da 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 da.
That's horrifying.
God.
And that reminds me, I'm playing, what is it? Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh no.
And it has so much of that, like, such a valid question. Okay, so apparently it's much better than it was upon release date, because it released and was like horribly buggy and like...
I know, they made good on having a finished product is what I'm hearing.
Apparently 3 years later or whatever, they've since abandoned it. Like, they're not even updating it anymore, but it's people online were saying it's like a playable, fun game now.
Good.
I was like, okay, I played it. It crashed 3 times in 2 hours, so I cannot actually recommend it. But it's...
there has to be something there about, like, dystopian capitalist future and, like, a game that doesn't play.
Did not even occur to me. Their whole thing is, like, we live in a fucked up future world, and it's very, like, the worst parts of Black Mirror, like, moments. Like, all,
so, like, all of it?
It's like, yeah. I should have seen that one coming. But so much of it is, like, we live in a fucked up future world, and it's like, you have to, you know, you can, I don't know, porn is VR or whatever. They're never all that interesting or specific about it. It's like, okay, we have that now, but
sorry. Can men write futuristic fiction that be like, oh, you get to fuck a robot, you can fuck robots.
Okay, so there's a robot, and this time you get to fuck it.
It's like how we objectify women, man. Also, they're so sexy.
Oh my God, they're so sexy. Okay, sorry. This is such another tangent. But, like, it's so fucking bad at that. It's, like, dire.
God.
Like, it's... There are so many billboards all around this city that are literally just, like, a woman's ass and a man pointing at it. And it's, like...
Come on, guys.
Like, maybe 45 minutes into the game, this, like, giant next part of the, like, game that you have to play requires you to go into, like, a cyber strip club.
Oh.
And then this woman, like, leads you into a room. And then there's just a naked hologram of a woman dancing in the room while you're talking to this other woman about a completely unrelated thing. And I was like...
Come
on. You guys suck so bad. Stop it. Like, not like, I'm not trying to be a Puritan. Like, if you want to put, like, strip club the game, like, in this game, be my guest, go with God.
Right.
But, like, to make it so required of the player just, like, sort of ticked me off.
Well, it's also, like, that thing of, like, is this a biting commentary on, like, this thing, or is it just the thing?
It is. Yeah, exactly. It's like, if anyone was trying to sell this as a biting commentary on, like, the, I don't remember.
The value of the human body in a, like, exactly, augmented, like, world.
Yes, like, how objectified women are. Then it's like, there was, what commentary? It was just performing it outright in front of my eyes.
Right.
So, whatever, man.
Sure.
Sorry, where were we even going with that?
you're playing Cyberpunk.
Yeah. I sure was.
You got that right.
You got that right, brother. I tell you what.
I can't wait for you to listen
anyway.
To this before I like post it as always and you text me with what you actually were going to tell me.
Yeah. I'm not convinced there was more to that. I just wanted to tell you about Cyberpunk 2077.
So valid. So valid. Well, yeah, I would check out this movie. If you're interested in this, like, it is worth your time. Like, I think it's a good movie to at least, like, you know, see and think about. And I'd love to hear if people saw more in this than I did.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes it sound like I didn't like it. I did like it.
Yeah. I just thought it was okay, but it is. Oh, go ahead.
No, I just didn't connect with it. What were you going to say?
Yeah, me too. But its biggest selling point, perhaps, besides that it has Jenna Malone in it, is that it is a crisp 84 minutes. Crisp. Mwah. Now that's a movie.
Now that's a movie.
Also, it's a double bi movie. I'm not sure we've had very many of those. They're both bi women.
Yeah, I don't know if we've had any, actually.
Yeah. Also, one of them has a kid. I think I've never seen that in a gay movie my whole life.
I think you're right.
Right?
Unless, like for the ones cool I've seen, stuff. At least. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No. I'm sure there exist, but I have never seen one that has a kid in it.
No, I do really value, like, complicated depictions of, like, queerness, you know? It's, like, it's not just a simple, like, I don't know. I know it can be, like, touchy to eschew labels, but, you know, it's interesting to see people who, like, haven't had it. They don't really have it figured out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, neither of them ever identify as anything in particular, but they're both women who have dated men and have had sex with each other. So bi is as good a label for me to smack on them as any, but, you know, whatever
retweet.
They decide.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Thanks for a cool movie, So-Young Kim.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening.
Thank you, listener. This is fun.
We'll be back in 2 weeks. But if you, oh my gosh, let me sell you our Patreon an hour into this.
Do it.
We do a bonus episode every month. And this month, right after we make our pilgrimage to Forks, Washington.
Yes, for unrelated reasons.
We just live in Washington and we're going to the peninsula. Forks is on the way. It's not planned for it.
Yeah.
We keep telling ourselves.
Yeah, I keep lying to myself, but we are going to the museum, so.
But for this,
how unrelated can it be?
Right, come on. But come on. For this month's bonus episode, we're going to be reading the selected passages from Midnight Sun, which is the first Twilight book from Edward's perspective, and Claire will be making a passionate defense of Twilight, so.
I will be. Unfortunately, I wasn't sure that was what it was going to be, but as I started writing out my thoughts and notes and, like, finding parts of the book that were funny to read, I realized I did actually want to defend this book, much to my horror.
And hey, it sounds like you have Kristen Stewart on your side. It is a very
gothic,
queer film. Book. Story.
Yes. No, I completely agree with Kristen Stewart, and I feel so validated by ContraPoints, too. So, like, there's minimum 3 women you have to be mad at now if you want to be mad at me for defending Twilight. So we're in a good group together.
Exactly. 3 gay women.
Yes, exactly.
Incredible.
Oh, it's perfect. Okay.
Anyway,
I'm so excited.
It's going to be
great.
Thank
you for joining us.
Thank you. You have a great, great time.
You do it.
You do it. Don't do it.
Do it. Goodbye.
Bye.